Good morning. Let us worship God. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you. Come if you like noise, excitement, and celebration. Come if you like quiet and calm and a chance to catch your breath. Come if you want to grow and learn and change. Come to me, all who work and thrive, and I will give you rest." Let's sing our first hymn, which is number 20 in your hymn books. "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." Come to our prayers. Let us pray. Eternal God, as we share our faith in this place, we pray for those of other faiths in other places, for those of no faith, for those who have lost faith, and for those searching for it. Breathe your Spirit on us all and unite us in all that is good, that your kingdom may come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord Jesus, you overturn tables and conventions, you challenge leaders and laws, you tore down and built up, you commissioned and called. And so we come to hear your word, to be inspired by your truth, and to live out your love. God of joy, we give thanks for the witness of Peter and Cornelius that confirms the inclusivity of your love and your grace. Help us to recognize more clearly your Spirit at work in those different from ourselves, and to celebrate the gift of diversity that defines your kingdom and colors your world. We come to our prayer of confession. Lord, when our fear of change hinders progress, forgive us. When our reluctance to change hinders growth, when our fear of others hinders unity, forgive us. When our reluctance to listen hinders understanding, when we refuse to change and hinder your work in our world, forgive us. And speak to us as you spoke to Peter, in visions, through others and through prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us join all our prayers together and say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen. Our first reading today is from the book of Acts.
This reading is from Acts chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for that reading. Has anybody any news they would like to share with us? Anything they've done which is exciting? Anything planned which is exciting? Any birthdays? Yes. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Somebody else put their hand up?
I think it's birthday.
Whose birthday is today? Your birthday was yesterday. It was yesterday. Let's sing happy birthday yesterday. Can we not sing happy birthday, Mr. Organist? I think we know the tune, don't we? Yes, let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Did you have a cake? Yes? Oh. So anybody else got some news? Oh. Well, bless you for doing it. It's a marvelous thing to do. My church has done the same thing, and it's very hard. So thank you very much for going out and doing that. I went to see Matthew Bourne. I went to see him do Swan Lake. Has anybody seen Swan Lake? Oh, it was magical. Wasn't it magical? The energy of those guys, unbelievable. Tired me out just looking at them. Anyway, I was going to speak to you about Bibles today. I've got quite a few Bibles. I've got the International Bible. I've got the Good News Bible. I've got the Message. I've got the Family Bible. I've got the Illustrated Bible. So I've got a lot of Bibles. I haven't got the Street Bible. Anybody got a Street Bible? I haven't got that. Anybody else got a Bible that I don't have? Yes?
I've got one in Spanish, one in French,
and Oh. One in Welsh. Ah, but I reckon I've got a Bible that nobody's got. I've got a biker's Bible. And this is specially for motorcyclists. It's a biker's Bible. And on the back it says, God, the real fuel that powers your life. Without fuel, the most expensive bike won't be going anywhere. Everything that moves needs fuel to make it go, and it's the same for our lives. And it's a special book for bikers. And the other day, I went down to the Salvation Army Community Church for a cup of coffee, and while I was there, I picked up War Cry. And in War Cry, there was an article on Sean Stillman. And he and three other Christian bikers established the first God Squad in the UK. They befriend bikers and offer compassion and support for them. And bikers are often perceived as rough, tough people who ride on the wrong side of the law. And they have befriended them. And he says that he has taken encouragement from Jesus. He says, I like the comparison with Jesus on the road with his mates. I think that whatever state of repair or disrepair we consider ourselves to be in, Jesus is not going to be the one who walks away and leaves us. He's still going to be alongside us, whatever the road brings. And Sean is also a full-time pastor at Zach's Place. It's a church in Swansea, and he ministers to people he describes as outcasts, the most vulnerable people in the city. And he calls it a church for ragamuffins. I often call my dog a ragamuffin when he's in need of the groomer. He's a mess, he's scruffy, and he's unkempt. But with love and attention, he's transformed, and it's the same for us. Zach's Place also provides food for people who need it, and he runs night shelters for rough sleepers. The article finished with this comment by Sean. He said, "Where others may judge us, leave us, or make decisions on whether we're worth it or not, these are non-negotiables in the presence of Jesus. With Jesus, we are loved and accepted, despite what others say and what we think of ourselves." I think Sean Stillman is an inspiration to us all. Everybody is of worth and value, regardless of what others think. And we're all God's children. So let us sing again. It's 693. Beauty for brokenness, hope for despair. God, in your suffering world, this is our prayer. 693.
Thank you.
come to our second reading from the book of Revelation.
This reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 16. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for that reading. Let's sing again. It's 362, Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity, in Perfect Harmony, the Man Who is God. 362.
Oh,
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. Unusually today, the reading was from the book of Revelation. It's not often we get a reading from Revelation, and the book is strange. It's alien and often horrifying. Yet at the same time, it contains some of the most comforting pictures ever devised by the human imagination. For example, the passage read to us today is often read at funerals. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation reminds us that for so many, the world is a cruel place. People are victimized and tortured for their beliefs. Still, the poor suffer. There is injustice and oppression, and hatred and violence abounds. But it's not possible to begin to understand the book of Revelation without some sense of moral outrage against the world as it is at the moment. But the book does offer something hopeful, for it is rooted in the conviction that in Jesus all that is unjust, cruel or evil will be defeated. All that is contrary to God's purpose will be smashed to smithereens. The book of Revelations was written around AD 95. What has changed? Technology has created a smaller world. We are aware of what is happening in every part of the world today. We watch it on the television. It's close to us in our living room. But there is hope. When 50 people were killed in mosques in New Zealand recently, the imam said, "I don't hate the man who did this. Hate cannot be the victor." Time and time again, Christ has told us that love trumps hate. And he showed by his love, by his care for his people, those on the fringes of society, the poor and the outcast, no one is excluded from his love. And Jesus gave the disciples a new command. In a sense, it was an old one, but for Christ's disciples, it was new because it was the mark of their brotherhood, created by his great love for them. "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." We must love one another. That's the first step. Loving your neighbor as yourself will follow. And our love extending outwards, caring, showing compassion in his world. We must try hard to build bridges of love and not walls of hatred. In Revelation, God is making a world from which evil will be completely banished. And in this new world, men and women will enjoy a new freedom. God will make his home among them. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death and no more mourning or sadness or pain. The world of the past has gone. This passage encourages us in the quest for changes that will lead to greater unity between Christians of different persuasions and better understanding between Christians and other parts of the communities in which we live. As his disciples, we have to learn to love, to forgive, so that a new world can be created. A world of peace, a world that lives by his commandment. Is it a dream? Perhaps. but by loving, by caring, we are building bridges. By our prayers, things will change. Prayer often feels like a solitary experience, something we do by ourselves, out of sight, personal and private. The truth is, however, that we never pray alone. Countless millions of people are praying at any given minute, and our prayer is just a drop in the vast river of prayer which is always flowing towards God. If we sometimes feel we are just the faithful few running the spiritual race down to the arena, remember that the stadium is packed with countless numbers of saints cheering us on. During the Second World War, there was a church in Strasbourg that was destroyed by Allied bombing. When renovations began after the war, the townspeople were delighted to discover in the wreckage a statue of Jesus. It was almost intact, although the hands had been broken off. The sculptor offered to fashion a new pair of hands, but the church elders decided that it made a powerful symbol just as it was, and simply placed an inscription in front which said, "Christ has no hands but yours." A very powerful message. Jesus commands us to love one another. It's not a wishy-washy order. It's an instruction that must be done. It's a commandment. Quite probably the first person, the first sermon those outside the church hear is the one preached by our lives, the work of our hands, rather than the words of our lips. It shows love in action. Wherever Jesus found evil in his ministry, he opposed it and invited his disciples to join in the campaign. It was a campaign of love, and by our prayers, we can be part of that campaign. The book of Revelation starts with, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And the book ends with, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And as the song goes, he holds the whole world in his hands. He holds you, brother, sister, everybody. He holds the whole world in his hands. Let us pray. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks today. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Amen. Let's sing again. It's another Graham Kendrick hymn, 272. From heaven you came, helpless babe. Entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served but to serve and give your life that we might live. 272.
Thank you.
A couple of years ago, an unusual Bible came up for sale. It was old, 1899, but not that old. On the flyleaf was written, God is love, and the name of the person who owned the Bible. It said, Eleanor Rigby. I don't know about you, but as soon as I hear that name, I remember the Beatles song, immortalizing the name Eleanor Rigby. It was a song written by Lennon and McCartney in 1966, and it's thought that Paul saw the name Eleanor Rigby on a gravestone in Wootton Cemetery, where he and John used to hang out. The Bible belonged to the real Eleanor Rigby, and because of the connection, I expect made a lot of money in the auction. But the song reminds us of all the lonely people. The song says Eleanor Rigby wearing a face that she keeps in a jar by the door. The central purpose of Christ's life is to destroy the life of loneliness and establish here on earth a life of love. So for our intercessions today, let us pray, first of all, for the lonely. Lord, make us so sensitive to the needs of those around us that we never fail to know when they're hurting or afraid, or when they're simply crying out for someone's touch to ease their loneliness. Let us love so much that our first thought is of others and our last thought is of ourselves. We pray, Lord, for places where there is division and for countries in the grip of civil war. May your Holy Spirit bring peace. For countries where there is religious persecution, for towns and cities where gang warfare brings fear, may your Holy Spirit bring unity and hope. For communities where there is inequality, for workplaces where there is insecurity, may your Holy Spirit bring dignity and confidence. For homes where there is brokenness, may your Holy Spirit bring healing. For churches where there is dilemma, may your Holy Spirit bring life. Lord, we pray for the worldwide church, praising your name in 1,000 different languages and styles. Especially we pray for churches in areas where religious faith is suppressed or where Christianity is seen as an unwelcome minority. We pray for the world caught up in violence and conflict. Violence in our own city and in many countries across the world. We pray for peace in the hearts of all those involved. Especially we pray for the innocent victims and their families caught up in conflicts not of their making. We pray for the world's leaders that they may be given insight and strength to strive for just societies in all regions of the world. We think now of those in need in our own community, the elderly, the housebound, those in care homes and hospice. Also, we pray for the victims of violence and for all those who administer to so many different needs. Let us share a moment of silence together to bring before you those known only to ourselves, as we name them in our hearts and commit them to your care. We bring our prayers to the foot of the cross. Be with those we have prayed for. Comfort them, and let them know that you are there. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We come to our offertory. Generous God, we bring to you our gifts, our prayers, and ourselves. Let our gifts be used well, our prayers sincere, and our lives reflect your generosity and love. Amen. Our final hymn is a lovely hymn. If we open the doors, maybe they'll hear us in the high street. It's 186. Tell out, my soul, the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. 186. Of the sun shine on you each day. May the light of the moon caress you each night. May the arms of God enfold you always, to keep you from fear, to guard you from harm, to bless you with love, and to hold you in peace. And the blessing of the sacred Trinity of love go with you now and always. Amen.